I want to begin our message this evening by reading from 1 Peter 5 and the first four verses of 1 Peter 5. And why I'm doing this will become apparent in a moment. But Peter writes to elders, to those who are given responsibility for the care of God's people. And this is what he says: "So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witnessing of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." One of the responsibilities of being an elder, of shepherding God's people, is that of protecting God's people from error, from false teachers. And that protective element of eldership is a heavy responsibility. We're told elsewhere in the scriptures that God will hold each of us who hold the role of elder accountable for how we care for you as the people of God. It strikes me as we were reading that passage that some of the features of false shepherds, the positive side was stated there, that we shouldn't be in it for financial gain. And we'll think more about that in a moment. And you can imagine that this is a demanding task. It's been a demanding task throughout the history of the church, but with widespread use of the internet, it's now even harder. We have spam filters that get rid of junk mail. We have porn filters for our computers that get rid of harmful pornographic content or block it for us. And if you haven't got one of those on your computer, you need to have one. And I was thinking as I was preparing this message, it would be great if someone devised a fake filter for our computers. Something that would identify and block spiritual fakes, false teachers, charlatans who claim to believe in Jesus and follow Jesus, but who peddle a false gospel. And there are clues as to who these people are. They're usually defined by having large and sparkly and successful TV ministries. They offer blessings in return for money. They offer success in return for your financial giving. The majority of them happen to be based in the United States, as, of course, is the place where most UFOs land in the world, apparently. I think there's a connection there. Their message is that we should be living our best life now, as Joel Osteen, that lead false teacher, is so fond of declaring. Now, I'm not usually in the mode of naming those who I consider to be false teachers. I don't want to do that. It's something that doesn't appeal to me. But I see sometimes on Facebook feeds shares and quotes, and I've seen one from someone who's part of our church family that's from Joel Osteen. So I need to make it clear, Joel Osteen is a wolf in sheep's clothing. He's a false teacher. So if you and your movement around become aware of this individual, just gently put your arm around them, as I will seek to do, and say, "Now listen, brother, listen, sister, I won't give you too many clues, listen, person, this person's a false teacher, and I'm showing my love to you by warning you not to have anything to do with them." Now, where was I? I got sidetracked. Now, Christian rapper, Shay Lin. Some of you might have heard of him, an American guy. Now, my rapping isn't great, but he wrote a song, and this is how it goes, okay? "Don't be deceived," and my rapping isn't great now, I remember. "Don't be deceived by this funny biz. If you come to Jesus for money, then he's not your God, money is. Jesus is not a means to an end, the gospel is. He came to redeem us from sin, and that is the message forever I yell. If you're living your best life now, you're heading for hell. Turn off TBN. I'll come back to that in a minute. That channel is overrated. The pastors speak bogus statements, financially motivated. It's a kind of like a pyramid scheme. Visual heretics Christianizing the American dream. It's foul and deceitful. They're lying to people, teaching that camels squeeze through the eye of a needle. End of quote. End of rap. Now that wasn't, I didn't get the rhythm right there at all, did I? Rhythm isn't one of my strong points. Well, TBN, I had a look at that on the internet. I switched off my fake filter and had a look. Trinity Broadcasting Network. And on that network you have people like David Jakes and Kenneth Copeland and Joyce Meyer. False teachers all. Now you see, today, more than ever, we need to be able to spot spiritual fakes. Put another way, we all need to grow and develop spiritual discernment, to be able to recognize spiritual hogwash when we hear it. That's the point that John makes in verse 6 of 1 John 4. He says, "By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." He loves these Christian believers. He's deeply concerned that they have a solid faith, a deep assurance that they know God and that they're following Him faithfully. And he wants every one of them to be able to tell the difference between truth and error. Now, how do we do that? Three things I want to suggest to you. The first is this: we need to believe in the right Jesus. We need to believe in the right Jesus. Look at verses 1 to 3. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming, and now is in the world already. A man called Leslie Newbigin wrote a book called The Gospel in a Pluralist Society. Newbigin was a missionary in India for 30 years. He lived in that pluralist society before pluralism became popular, if you like, in the West. And this is what he says: the gospel is news of what has happened. The problem of communicating it in a pluralist society is that it simply disappears into the undifferentiated ocean of information. It represents one opinion among millions of others. It cannot be the truth, since in a pluralist society, truth is not one, but many. It may be true for you, but it cannot be true for everyone. To claim that it is true for everyone is simply arrogance. It is permitted as one opinion among many. Now, does that sound familiar? Have you ever had anyone say to you, well, that's okay for you to believe, but I don't have to think in that way. I've got my own faith, my own belief. That is symptomatic of what it means to live in a pluralist society. So believing in Jesus is an option out of many other equally beneficial beliefs. But you see, once again here, John makes it clear that Christianity is rooted and grounded in the Jesus question. What do you believe about Jesus? If he's just another enlightened religious teacher, then it is perfectly reasonable to permit him, to tolerate him as one option among many in our pluralistic society. And most of our unbelieving and secular friends are there already, and they're quite happy. If you want to believe in Jesus, that's fine for you, but it's not for me. But if Jesus is God incarnate, then that means that the gospel, and only the gospel, is true. If Jesus is God in the flesh, a perfect union of the divine and the human, then he is what he claimed to be, and he is therefore the only way of salvation. And that means that every other salvation story is false, and every other prophet who claims to come from God is a false prophet. And every other teacher who doesn't teach the truth about Jesus is a false teacher. And every other path that is offered to God is wrong. You see that? So how do we test the spirits? Verse 1 of chapter 4. Well, we ask the Jesus question. John says this is how we recognize the Spirit of God. It's also how we recognize those who are the true teachers of God's word. And what is the truth about Jesus? Who is the real Jesus? We'll see what John says. Jesus Christ, that is the Messiah of God, the second person of the Trinity, has come, perfect tense, in the flesh. He is the incarnation of the living God. And that is the true Jesus, the true message of Jesus. And it is on that truth that authentic Christianity stands or falls. That there is a true, a genuine, a permanent and perfect union of deity and humanity in the person of Jesus Christ, God's only Son. And the Spirit of God, you see, always honors Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Always. That's why we read from John 16 at the start of the service. Because there, Jesus explained that the Helper was coming. That's another way of describing the Holy Spirit. And also told us what his role would be in chapter 16 and verse 14. He will glorify me, said Jesus, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So where there is no glorifying of Jesus as God incarnate, then the Spirit of God is not present. And verse 3, those who deny the true nature of Jesus Christ are not of God, but are rather of the Antichrist. Every spirit, says John, that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Now, none of that is unique to the 21st century. False teachers haven't arisen in our midst with the invention of television and the internet. In the first century, there were people who refused to believe the truth about God sending his Son as the Savior of the world in the person of Jesus. Now, as an aside here, it's worth saying because people seem to assume that the church have always, since the beginning, had to defend the deity and the humanity of Christ, his perfect nature. But that is not the case. For the first three centuries, no one doubted that Jesus was God. False teachers arose in the late 2nd and early 3rd century. Before that, everybody believed that Jesus was God. There was no argument that he was God made flesh. It's important to remember that. But then a group called the Docetists arose. And they said that Jesus was a phantom, a ghostly spirit who only appeared to be human. And then a man called Cerinthus said that the Spirit of God's Christ empowered the human Jesus at his baptism, but left him at the crucifixion. And the bottom line is that they denied the genuine reality of the incarnation, God being made flesh, the uniting of deity and humanity in the person of Jesus. In other words, they didn't believe in the real Jesus. So as one Bible scholar put it, if a person claims to believe in Jesus, it is proper to ask, is your Jesus the real Jesus? That is the crucial test of whether a preacher or a teacher is false or faithful. Listen to this extended quote. False prophets and those who listen to their teachings hang around the truth for a while, so there's a whiff of truth. There's something there that you can say is worthy, but they don't stay. They wander away. Again and again, their errors come back to what they think and believe about Jesus. The Bible says he's God, but they wander away and deny his eternal deity. The Bible says he's sinless, but they wander away and say he sinned or at least committed error. The Bible says he did miracles, but they wander away and say these are myths and fables. The Bible says he is the only Savior, but they wander away and say that he is a Savior. The Bible says he died on the cross for our sins, but they wander away and deny penal substitution and call it cosmic child abuse, Steve Chalk, another false teacher. The Bible says he rose bodily from the dead, but they wander away and say the disciples imagined that he did. The Bible says he ascended into heaven as Lord, but they wander away and say this is just another myth. The Bible says he's coming again, but they wander away and they say it's pop Christian fiction. And finally they say, the Bible says he will judge us all, but they wander away and they say God is love and eventually everyone will be saved because love wins. Rob Bell, another false teacher. The emerging church. Now I know sort of a couple of years ago there were in student circles in Leeds, and I'm not casting any aspersions here, Rob Bell was being listened to and watched. He's a false teacher. Be warned. And if you haven't heard of these names and don't know who they are, forget everything I've said. Okay? You don't want to know. Don't go there. Don't inquire. But if you have heard these names and you know what I'm talking about, then be warned. The question is, are you confessing the true Jesus? Do you confess with the apostles, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God? Second thing we need to do in being able to spot the spiritual fakes is depend on the Holy Spirit, verses 4 and 5. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore, they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. You see, truly confessing Jesus as the God-man is more than intellectual assent to certain facts about him. It's more than learning the theological terms that have come up over the ages to describe his nature. You don't have to know those to be a real Christian. No, you see, the ability to recognize and believe in the real Jesus is a work of God the Holy Spirit in our hearts. It's a consequence of being born again by the Spirit of God. And notice how John describes him here. He, that is God the Holy Spirit, who is in you, that is who indwells you, is greater than he, that is the evil one, who's the source of everything that opposes God, who is in the world. The Holy Spirit indwells every true believer. He's within us. And his great task is to make much of Jesus in our lives, to honor him, to exalt him, to lift his name high. So we can ask the question, is the world strong? Well, yes, absolutely, it is strong. But our God is stronger still. Are false prophets wise? Well, we would have to acknowledge that, yes, they have wisdom. They're cunning. But are they wiser than God? Is their wisdom greater than God's wisdom? No, it's not. And what about Satan? Is he great? Well, yes. But our God is greater by far. And it is God who is on our side. It is his Spirit who testifies that we are his. And if we listen to him, we won't go wrong on Jesus. Listen to a couple of practical points that John Piper draws from this familiar verse. He that is in you is stronger than he that is in the world. The first thing he says is this: don't take credit for your listening ear, your confessing heart, or your correct view of Christ. Give credit to the Spirit who is in you, and give God the glory. Secondly, he says, when you're threatened by any deception of the evil one, any temptation or discouragement or anxiety or cowardice, remind yourself that he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Almighty God abides within you. Trust him. For this, if you turn over to chapter 5 and verse 4 of John's letter, is the victory that overcomes the world. Your faith in the sovereign indwelling power of God the Holy Spirit. He will not lead you astray. As Jesus promised, he will lead you into all truth about Jesus. And then thirdly, if you're going to discern, grow in spiritual discernment, you need to believe the teaching of the Bible. Now, before I look at verse 6 and move on and open it up a little bit, it is impossible to be spiritually wise if you don't know the Scriptures. It's impossible to spot a fake if you don't know the truth. Isn't it? Isn't that how they train the bank tellers? There's no point in looking at the myriad fakes that there are on the market. What you do for a bank teller, at least maybe they've changed this. A bank teller, is that an old-fashioned term? But, you know, the people who give you the money at the bank, you know, I know they've got these wee blue light things that they check whether it's the real thing or not. But people were trained, weren't they, in former days, how to spot fakes. And how were they trained? They studied the real thing. They studied the genuine article. So that when they saw something that wasn't quite right, it immediately struck them. And that's where we can be vulnerable. People like me stand up in church every Sunday and said, right guys, you need to pray more, you need to read your Bible more, and we've got to be careful that we don't, you know, just do that out of, you know, habit. But when it comes to learning spiritual discernment and guarding your own heart and life from error, you have to know the truth. You've got to read the Bible yourself. And you've got to get good helps to understand the Bible for yourself. Because I can't be on the end of the phone whenever you're at that point of pressure or temptation to go astray, can I? No. The answer is no. I don't even want to sow that as an idea in your head, okay? Because you've got to know yourself. God has given you the Bible. He's given you the gift of God, the Holy Spirit, so that you can understand the truth and you can grow in the truth. And I would urge you, if you're not in the habit of reading the Scriptures every day in some way, whether that's reading it, listening to it as you're driving to work with your headphones in or whatever, even if it's a tiny chunk, one verse, do it so that you're grounded in the truth and you're strengthened and you can spot error when you see it. Okay? That's a sub-point. Let's get on to this, believing the Bible. Verse 6, we are from God, says John. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. See what John says here. Whoever knows God listens to us. Now, who is the us? Who's he talking about? Well, John was one of the apostles. And he's talking about the apostles. In other words, he's saying, if you want to know the truth, listen to the apostles' teaching. Now, of course, that raises a very important question and a very practical question. How can we listen to the apostles' teaching when they've been dead for almost 2,000 years? Well, here's how one author put it. We hear the apostles through a certain kind of preaching. The preaching that takes the apostles' words, explains their words, and applies their words is the kind of preaching that enables us to listen to them today. We call this expositional preaching because it exposes what the apostles have written and the meaning and application of their words. So when you listen to the word of God expositionally preached, you're listening to the apostles. And ultimately, you're listening to God himself. Ever thought about preaching in that way? You see, the apostles are from God. They are faithful teachers. And those who are faithful teachers and followers of the Lord Jesus will teach in accordance with the apostles. The apostles are God's men. And so those who know God will accept their teaching, and those who don't know God will reject their teaching. They'll show that they really are of the world by rejecting the apostles' teaching. Putting it bluntly as John does, anybody who rejects the apostles' teaching, especially concerning the person and nature of Jesus Christ, doesn't know the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we must be discerning, why we must be able to spot the spiritual fakes, There are many people who claim to be Christians, who claim that God has anointed them to bring a message to the world, but they deny God's word. They twist and distort God's words to fill their own bank accounts and maintain their lavish lifestyles. And it's a shame, a scandal, a tragedy that the ministries of these people have great effect in the poorest parts of the world. They're promising the material dream now, and people living in abject poverty, instead of being helped, are giving money to these fakes, these charlatans, these wolves in sheep's clothing. You can see I'm getting a bit worked up, because it matters. Martin Luther said this: "It does no good to say, 'I will gladly confess Christ and his word in all articles except one or two, which my tyrannical masters will not tolerate.' But he who denies Christ in one article or word has in this one article denied the same Christ who would be denied in all articles. For there is but one Christ in all his words, collectively and individually." There's only one true Jesus. And the apostles' teaching is one body of truth concerning the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Deny it at any point, and you deny Jesus. So how do you tell false teachers from faithful teachers? Well, you begin by asking them, are they teaching me the truth about Jesus? That he is the incarnate Son of God, fully God and fully man. Then you've got to ask, does their teaching exalt the real Jesus? Does it make much of him? Does it point to him and give him the glory? If it does, the Spirit of God is at work. If it doesn't, there's another Spirit at work, but it's not the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, does their teaching conform to the teaching of the apostles? Do they handle God's word with careful precision and reverence? Or do they violate Scripture to suit their own ends and their own agendas? That's why you need to know your Bible. Because if you meet someone who's been taken in by some of these false teachers, you're going to have to go to the Word of Truth to help them see it for themselves. And what you'll do, what you'll find in doing that, is that the false teacher has misinterpreted or misapplied the verse that they're looking at to prove their point. One of the classic examples of that I came across was with a couple of Mormons. Now, they didn't claim to be Christian in the traditional sense, but they were trying to tell me that the book of Ezekiel prophesied and predicted the book of Mormon alongside the Bible. And I said, great, let's go to Ezekiel. Let's get the Bible out and have a look. We'll look at the King James Version because you're comfortable with that. And I'll live with that. Let's go for it. And when you looked at it, the passage in question was talking about two staffs. And then they said, well, one staff is the Bible and the other staff is the Book of Mormon. And I said, whoa, where's that coming from? Okay, that's called aegesis, reading something into the text that isn't there. Not exegesis, taking from the text something that is there. So what we seek to do, Matthew, Roger, myself, week by week, is look at the text, take the truth that is there, open it and explain it. And any time you find us reading into the text something that's not there, because it might be our hobby horse, you need to take us to one side and give us a clout with a 2x4. Okay? Because we're mishandling the word of truth. We're not handling it as worthy workmen. I was only joking about hitting us, by the way. Speak to us, rebuke us, but don't clout us. Okay? But it's important that you be discerning as God's people, as you hear people preach the word, even from this pulpit. We seek to guard it, but it's important that you yourself can be discerning. And there's no doubt that there's a great spiritual battle raging for the hearts and minds of men and women in our world today. So we as God's people need to test the spirits to see whether they're from God. We need to confess Jesus Christ in all his beauty and majesty as Lord and God. We need to honor and exalt him in our lives and in our teaching. And we've got to trust God, the Holy Spirit, who dwells within his people. And we have to be faithful to God's word, to the scriptures. And we've got to know it. We've got to love it. We've got to treasure it in our hearts. Because it's as the Holy Spirit takes of this word that we are conformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. So if you're sitting thinking, oh, I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. I want to learn from him. I want to grow to be like him. You're not going to do it if your Bible stays closed from one Sunday to the next. Because the Spirit of God takes the Word of God to conform us to the likeness of God's Son. So think about that. And pray that God would enable us to be spiritually discerning. Because as we test the spirits, as we confess Jesus Christ for who he really is, as we trust God the Holy Spirit, as we are faithful to his word and feed upon it, in those things there is strength, there is safety, and ultimately, by the grace of God, there is salvation. There is salvation. But go astray on Jesus. And you're still lost. You're still lost. Let's pray together. Father, we are so thankful for your word. Forgive it. Forgive us, Lord, that we take it for granted. We know of Christians in other parts of the world who would love to have a Bible. To be able to open it, to be able to read it, to be able to carry it in the open air. And we thank you that we have the word of truth in many different ways, in many different forms. Help us to love this word so that in it we might learn the truth about your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that by the work of your Holy Spirit in us, we might be changed, our hearts might be transformed. The old man might be crushed, and the new creature that we are in Christ might grow and flourish and be strengthened. Oh, we pray that you would do this work in us and help us to be so in love with Jesus and so aware and conscious of your truth that we can spot a fake a mile away. And we ask, Father, for those of us who may have fallen into the trap of following false teachers, that you'd be merciful. Pray, Father, that they'd be won back to the truth. Pray, Father, that you would lead them into truth and help those of us who are aware of the errors that there are out there to encourage and help those around us to be guarded and careful in what they watch and what they listen to. Lord, we ask that you would hear our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.